Greetings again, my dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the human family. My dear and wonderful sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. And today's recording date is Sunday, June the 19th, 2011. And we are yet talking and preaching with the mind of Christ, with the revelation of Jesus Christ. But we are in Ezekiel, and we're yet looking at the princes of this world, the prince of Tyrus represents the visible rulers, presidents, prime ministers, heads of state, heads of governmental, financial, and educational institutions. But they only represent the hidden, wicked rulers, the synagogue of Satan, the house of Rothschild, the Oppenheimers, the hidden and unseen 1%, 2% wicked ruling class and ruling families that you never see. And in this scripture, when we get to the king of Tyrus, that king is representative of the hidden powers. Now, moreover, we're going to leave the princes of this world, okay? We discussed how the visible heads of state, heads of governmental, financial, educational institutions, heads of the banks, heads of corporations, those that we see are only representative of those that we don't see. We have seen how your presidents and prime ministers and those that we see who are leaders come before us and say, we are one of you. So when you see in the scripture where it says, I am God, that the prince says, I am God, that word is Elohim or El. That is not Yahweh. Yahweh is 3068 and 3069 in the dictionary, Hebrew, side of the Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary. And when the prince says he's God, that number for God is, what is that number? 410 and 430 in the Hebrew side of your Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, and that means Elohim. You're Elohim, sisters and brothers. You are gods and goddesses, children of the Most High. But when these leaders come into power, they have to cause us to think that they're one of us, that they have our best interest at heart. But in reality, it is all a trick, a scam, fictitious, to cause us to support them. So that in reality, when they get into power, we see that they don't do our bidding. They don't work on our behalf. They work on behalf of the House of Rothschilds, the Oppenheimers, the Wall Street, the bankers, the corporations, the 1%, 2% ruling class. So that is what Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse about 1 and 2 all the way down to about 12 is talking about. All the way down to 11 is talking about. In verse 12, we pick up the discussion concerning the king of Tyrus. The king of Tyrus we're talking about now. And this king of Tyrus is not the prince of Tyrus. This king of Tyrus is that hidden and unseen wicked ruler that give us our presidents and prime ministers, etc. Now, Son of Man, and that's you and I if we understand. We're the Son of Man. We're the Elohim. We're the gods and goddesses. We're the servants of the Most High Father and Mother Yahweh. And we're talking. Take up a lamentation. A lamentation means to be sad. take up a lamentation, lament, be sad, mourn. It has to do with mourning. So take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God. So this puts us in the proper mentality, frame of thought. We're not happy about the prophecies concerning wicked rulers. We want to see wicked rulers cease from being wicked and do good by the people. That's why I love talking to my beautiful wife, because she was saying that God intends for those in power to do good. And so what we are going to do as we look at this king of Tyrus, we're going to make sure that we understand that it is talking about an earthly material king empowered by the mentality of Lucifer, but Lucifer not disconnected. Lucifer connected to these earthly unseen rulers that are messing over and destroying the human family. Take up a lamentation. Be sad about what you're going to say. We're sad. We're not happy about what the wicked rulers are doing. We're not happy to see that what goes around comes around on these wicked rulers and wicked demons that are in power. We're saddened by all of this drama of warfare, bloodshed, and destruction of the human family. We're not happy about any of this. We're only happy about the salvation that comes to the poor, the salvation that comes to the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. We're happy that the Most High is giving us the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to break the power of Satan, to break the power of the synagogue of Satan. We're not happy for that which they suffer. So we, like Ezekiel, are taking up a lamentation to the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God. Now, let me say right quick, this word God here is 3069. It means Yahweh or Jehovah. And 3068 is also Yahweh and Jehovah. And it means life. It means the self-existent one. It means that one that is the origin of life. And in life, you got to have father and mother. And so Yahweh is father and mother. No life without father and mother. Amen, the father. Amenet, the mother. Allah, the father. Ilah, the mother. Yahweh is father and mother. Life. Thou sealest up the sum of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou sealest up the sum of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This is describing the king of Tyrus. Said the king of Tyrus, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. When you look at the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and look at how they live, look at how they are so perfect, it seems. Entire, all perfect. Khalil is the word, 3632 for perfect. They seem to be perfect. They seem to be so beautiful. Perfect in beauty. That word beauty, 3308 in the Hebrew language, your feet. Beauty. That's the meaning of the word beauty, splendor, brightness, gracefulness, right? So the house, if you were to look at the house of Rothschilds and how they live better than kings and queens. They live better than presidents and prime ministers. They live it seems to be perfect and beautiful life. That's how it looks to us. Now, verse 13 of chapter 28 of Ezekiel, talking to the king of Tyrus. Certainly the king of Tyrus is given over to Satan, but yet this is the material king of Tyrus that is the real power behind the prince of Tyrus, and this king of Tyrus represents the real powers behind the visible presidents and prime ministers and heads of state, governmental, financial, educational institutions. This king of Tyrus represents the house of Rothschild, the Oppenheimers, those who you never see. The wicked ruling class of ruling families, 1%, 2%, those who you never see. This is the king of Tyrus that Yahweh is talking to. Verse 13, chapter 28 of Ezekiel. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Eden 5731 is a masculine word. Eden means pleasure, delights, also delicates, delights and pleasure. So the king of Tyrus was in Eden. Now you know Eden is used in the Genesis, the garden of God. 1:5:8:8. The Hebrew word is gan. It means, it's a masculine and feminine word. It means garden and plants. Enclosed garden. And so in a garden, you have life and vegetation and whatnot. And so this king of Tyrus was in Eden, the garden of God. Now, this word God is not Yahweh. This word God is Elohim, gods and goddesses. You have to research the definition of these words. Elohim, gods and goddesses, children of the Most High. It was the Elohim, the gods and goddesses, the angels, the spirits or the angels, gods and goddesses, working on behalf of the Most High, Yahweh, that constructed the Garden of Eden on behalf of the Most High. And this king of Tyrus, having been given the finest of education, the finest of everything, was in Eden, in that delightful place, in the garden of God, supposed to be productive. Now, let me read. Now, I want to go back to my beautiful wife who said that the intention of the Most High is that these rulers do good by the people. And see, the controversy is that these scholars want to say that this is describing Satan or Lucifer, disconnected from material reality when it concerns this Garden of Eden drama and scene. Okay? And so I want to read you to you a commentary from the Living Application or the Life Application Bible, because they're struggling with this. They know that Ezekiel is talking to this material king, but because it's using phrases like the Garden of Eden and cherubs, which means angels, they want to say that this is Lucifer and not the king. But I say that it is yet the king. It is Lucifer, but not disconnected from material reality. This is Lucifer in the king of Tyre. Now they say, for their commentary on this scripture concerning the king of Tyre, that some of the phrases in this passage which describe the human king of Tyre may describe Satan. Great care must be taken to interpret these verses with discernment. It is clear that at times Ezekiel describes the king in terms that could not apply to a mere man. This king had been in the Garden of Eden, had been a guardian angel, and had access to the holy mountain of God, but he was cast down from the mountain. Ezekiel, therefore, may have been pronouncing judgment not only on the king of Tyre, but on Satan, who had motivated the king to sin. So they yet connect Satan with this king, but they want to say that certain things are not describing this earthly material king, but are only describing Lucifer. I say it is describing the king. What we must understand is that spiritually, every human being is given birth spiritually by the Most High Father and Mother, and then deposited into the physical womb of our physical mothers, emanating from the physical germ of life, which is called sperm, from our physical fathers. But spiritually, we're already born. And in that spiritual birth, that original birth, that birth before the physical birth, in the mind of the Most High, the Most High sees all of us in the garden. as his and as the pleasure of the Most High Father and the Most High Mother. We are all spiritually first in Eden, and we're supposed to come forth into the physical world and work Eden, work the Garden of Eden in the lives of human beings. And so when these leaders take power, and I was having an interesting conversation with my earthly father on yesterday, and we were celebrating Juneteenth, celebrating freedom. And I congregate with my father and my family, and we go to Juneteenth and celebrate Father's Day at Juneteenth and think on freedom. My earthly father was saying, when these folk get into power, it is the intention of the Most High that those that get into power do good and do right by the people rather than do wicked by the people. And so coming back to my wife and what she said, and coupling that with my father and what he's, my earthly father, and what he said, and coming back to this Ezekiel chapter 28 verse 13, the king of Tyrus was in Eden, the garden of God. The purpose of the Most High for this king of Tyrus was to be the delight and to be to work life like a garden, to go into the people and work life for and through and by the people. That's the purpose of the Most High for this king of Tyrus. So House of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers and 1%, 2% ruling class and families of this wicked world order, it is the intent of the Most High that you use your power to do good by the people, to be the delight of the Most High and the delight of the people, and to work the garden of life, work the garden of pleasure through the working of the people and doing good by the people and educating the people and providing the people those resources and minerals and everything under the sun that the Most High intended for all of us to have equal access to. That's the intention of the Most High for you, House of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. Continuing in verse 13, every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, and the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. All of these precious minerals, you have obtained these minerals, House of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers and 1% and 2% ruling class and families, kings, the real kings of this world, not the presidents and prime ministers. You are the king of Tyrus. The king of Tyrus is you. Look at how you have so much wealth, so much land, so much resources and minerals and whatnot. But how did you get it? How did you get it? It was through bloodshed and warfare. Continuing, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Let me go ahead and take my next break, and I will see you on the other side of the break.
I am.
Greetings, greetings again, sisters and brothers of the human family, my sisters and brothers of the Uhuru family. This is Deacon Christopher Frazier. I am your minister of information. This is thinkaboutit.org, the Mind of God program. Today's recording date is Sunday, June the 19th, 2011. All right. Now this part of the scripture in verse 13, chapter 28 of Ezekiel, causes these scholars who don't understand scripture, who don't understand Africa. This is African Hebrew scripture, African Hebrew knowledge. And in the African Hebrew understanding and knowledge, all of us were spiritually in the Garden of Eden. And it is the intent that all of us work Eden or delight or work the garden, which is life, amongst each other and through each other, meaning that you have life in you. You have the Most High in you. I'm supposed to have the Most High in me and life in me. And when we come together, it's supposed to be the Garden of Eden, or the kingdom of God in heaven right here, right now on this earth. The kingdom of God in heaven is in you. The Eden, the Garden of Eden, or Eden, the Garden of God, which is equivalent to the kingdom of God in heaven, is alive within you. Now, conversely, there's the kingdom of the devil and Satan and the kingdom of hell. Now, we can choose to wake up hell in us, or we can choose to kill hell, squash hell, destroy hell, and wake up heaven in us. The choice is ours. So we don't teach God and the devil disconnected from the material reality. We don't teach the God and the devil disconnected from the human being. We have the choice to wake up God within ourselves, wake up life and Christ within ourselves, or we can choose to wake up the devil or wake up hell within ourselves. We should be choosing God and life. We should be choosing Christ. We should be choosing the kingdom of God in heaven. We should be choosing the Garden of Eden. Now, the last part of verse 13, chapter 28, talking about the king of Tyrus, talking about the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. Yes, talking about Lucifer, but not disconnected from the wicked, hidden and unseen, real kings and real rulers of this wicked, nasty, rotten, no good system. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Now, when the scholars interpret this, they say this means that Lucifer was full of music and pipes, and that Lucifer was the head of the heavenly choir, and that Lucifer also had the diamonds and the jewels in his spiritual body. And so when he was found to be wicked and was kicked out of heaven and influenced the third of the angels to come with him, all the diamonds and the rubies fell out of his body and ended up in Africa. And that's why Africa has all the diamonds and the rubies and whatnot. And then the music. And so that's why the choirs in church often have the devil in them, because the devil had music in him. And so when he was found evil, now music can be used for evil. Fictitious. Fallacy. Wrong. When you research the definitions of these words, now stay with me. Stay with me. The workmanship. Let's look up workmanship. We're talking about this material king of Tyrus. This material king of Tyrus. The workmanship, 4399. Milaka. Feminine noun. Occupation. We're talking about an occupation. We're talking about work. We're talking about business. That's what the word workmanship means in the Hebrew. Public business, political business, religious business, those that conduct business. Okay, so the workmanship of thy tabrets. Now, tabrets, found under the number 8596, does have to do with music. So you may think I'm wrong, but I'm not. It does have to do with music. Tabrets means timbrels or tambourine. Tofi, that's how you pronounce the word in the Hebrew language. So this tabrets or timbrel or tambourine does have to do with music. But this next word, the pipes, see, they don't talk about the tabrets. They talk about the pipes. They say the pipes was in Lucifer, and the pipes created the music, and so he fell, and now that's why the devil is in the choir. That's what church say. I've been in church for 4 decades, and that's what they say. But this word for pipes, let's look up this word for pipes. 5345 in the dictionary. Hebrew, Strong's Hebrew-Greek dictionary on the Hebrew side, means nekev. Nekev. It means a bezel, B-E-Z-E-L, for a gem, G-E-M, which means minerals and wealth and diamonds and precious stones and metals. It means a groove or a socket or a hole, H-O-L-E, or a cavity or settings. It means, I'm reading the definition, a technical term relating to a jeweler's work, a work having to do with a jeweler. So this word for pipes, if you research the definition in the Hebrew, it has nothing to do with music. It has to do with those instruments that are used by jewelers to cut diamonds and cut gold and present precious metals and stones for things like tambourines. Thank you, Father and Mother. Thank you, Yahweh, for revealing to me what this is. If you take a tambourine, what are those things in the tambourine that make the noise? That is made from probably gold, probably silver, precious stones, so it can make a nice, beautiful noise. And so it's not that Lucifer had music in him. It's that this wicked king, under the spirit of Lucifer, or Satan, has taken the precious stones, the wealth and the resources, and presented it to jewelers so that the jewelers may make things like tambourines or make rings or make necklaces, take these fine precious stones and metals and present them before us so that we may participate in the spirit of materialism and consumerism, and that we care not that these minerals and wealth and resources have been obtained through warfare and bloodshed, militarism, so that we may participate in the sacrificing of our sisters and brothers on the twin altars of materialism and consumerism. Now, so this word for pipes is, once again, those instruments used by jewelers. And let me say that the state of Israel, their greatest industry or second greatest industry, has to do with the taking of those stolen wealth and minerals and precious stones and metals and cutting them into that which is presented to us in our diamond stores and jewelers and jewelry stores. And so we see they're doing the wicked bidding of the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. And so, verse 14. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. See now, once again, let me look up this word. Anointing. Thou art the anointed Memshach. And this is related to Mashiach. But it means anointed, expansion. Okay? Thou art the anointed cherub. Let's look up this word cherub. 3742, keruv, masculine noun. Cherub means an angelic being, guardians of Eden, or those flanking the throne of God, or an image from hovering over the Ark of the Covenant. Remember, those images are related to the Sphinx. They were called cherubs. The Ark of the Covenant had two winged beings with human faces, but wings and animal bodies. And those are replicas of the Sphinx of Egypt or the Horem Akets, the chariot of Jehovah. So now we're talking about a guardian angel. And so this causes the scholars to say that Ezekiel is not referring to the king of Tyrus. I'm saying that this is referring to the king of Tyrus, and this is referring to the intent that the Most High had for the king of Tyrus, and the intent that the Most High has today for the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. Going back to my earthly father and his comments, and going back to my beautiful wife and her comments, that the Most High wants these rulers to do good by the people, to be, going to Ezekiel now, the guardian angel to guard the people, to be anointed to guard the people, not to destroy the people. It says the anointed cherub that covereth. Let's look up this word covereth. 5526. Sakak of, that's the Hebrew word in the Strong's Hebrew Greek dictionary, means to screen, to cover, to protect. Okay? So we're talking about protecting house of Rothschilds and Oppenheimers. The Most High Yahweh wants you to use your power to protect the poor, the afflicted, the needy, and the oppressed. Not steal, rape, kill, destroy. Weave together is another meaning. To weave together. But see, the wicked rulers of this world divide and conquer, not weave together. To hedge, to fence about, to shut in, meaning to protect again. So that's the intention that the Most High had for the king of Tyrus. And that's the intention that the Most High has for the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. And I, continuing with verse 14 of 28 of Ezekiel, and I have set thee, so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Now let me look up this set, 5414, set thee, to give, to bestow, to grant, to permit, to ascribe, to employ. All right, so to employ, let's focus on that word deploy or employ. The Most High wanted the king of Tyrus to be employed by the Most High, or to be an employee of the Most High. And it is the same with the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. The Most High desires that the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, today's king of Tyrus, to be an employee of the Most High, to work on behalf of the Most High, to do good by the people. Let's continue. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Holy. 6944. Kodesh. Meaning, now, Kadosh, Ruach HaKadosh, Holy Spirit, Kadosh means holy, as well as Kodesh means holy in this scripture we're looking at. But Kadosh for Holy Spirit means a living entity or an animate object. And this Kodesh in Ezekiel means an inanimate object, as we would call it, such as a land, a place, a city, a town, so on and so forth. And so, the holy mountain. A mountain is considered inanimate. And so, the Most High set the king of Tyrus on the holy mountain. Let's look up this word, mountain. Har, a masculine noun, a hill, a mountain, a hill country, a mount. And we know that mountains signify powers and influence and rulers. But this is the mountain of God. 430. Elohim, gods and goddesses, children of the Most High. And so the intention of Yahweh is that the king of Tyrus was to be influenced for holiness by the gods and the goddesses, the angels, the angelic beings, Michael the archangel, and Gabriel, and Gabriella, and Michelle, and because see, the angels are not just masculine, the angels are also feminine, because Elohim means gods and goddesses. So these, the king of Tyrus, the anointed one, who's supposed to be the covering for the people, was supposed to be a covering angel for the people, was trained by the knowledge and wisdom of the Most High through the gods and the goddesses, or spirits, or angelic beings. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And these stones of fire are symbolic of the angels, symbolic of those servants of the Most High, the gods and the goddesses, the children of the Most High, who are the ones who gave the physical structure to the creation on behalf of the Most High, Father and Mother, Yahweh. And so the king of Tyrus was on the mountain of God, and the king of Tyrus walked in the stones of fire. That word fire, supernatural fire, 784, ash, probably where we get our word ash, a feminine noun, because these words deal with the attributes coming through the feminine and the masculine. And so the king of Tyrus was dealing with supernatural fire, that fire that comes from the Most High, that is not always angry, but is refining fire. That fire was to refine through knowledge, through wisdom, through understanding. It says supernatural fire accompanying a theophany. A theophany is a word that deals with the manifestation of the Most High in and through the physical world. And so this is where the king of Tyrus dwelled, on the mountain of God, or the mountain of Elohim, the gods and the goddesses. Taking in the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding, the flame of the Most High. Taking in that supernatural fire. Taking in that knowledge, that wisdom, that understanding that was and is the Most High manifesting as a theophany through the physical world. This is where the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers and all of us were created to be, that we may take this knowledge and use it for good. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. And all of us in our original birth were created perfect. But we, like the house of Rothschilds, like the Oppenheimers, we, the human family, following Satan, began to leave that perfection and turn to iniquity. Okay, verse 16. By the multitude of thy merchandise, thou, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. I want to go to this word violence. Cruelty and injustice. Kamase 2555. So, you can research the word for merchandise. Has to do with commerce, has to do with business, has to do with the obtaining of land, wealth, and resources. But how did they do it? Through violence. The house of Rothschilds did it through violence. The Oppenheimers did it through violence, through injustice, through cruelty. And thou hast sinned. You can look up this word for sin. Let's look up this word for sin right quick. Time is getting away from me. To sin, to incur the penalty of sin, unclean. So wickedness was done by the king of Tyre. And wickedness has been done by the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers. And they obtained the wealth after having been taught by wonderful teachings of the Most High, taught knowledge and wisdom and understanding by and the angels represent knowledge of the Most High. Theophany, the knowledge of the Most High through creation, through the physical world, through the material world. But the merchandise has come to them through violence and sin. Therefore I cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. So the Most High Yahweh is saying to the house of Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers, the king of Tyrus, the real rulers of this wicked world, that the Most High Father and Mother had to disconnect these rulers from divinity and cast them down from the mountain of Elohim, the gods and the goddesses, the angels. And you and I are also the Elohim, the gods and the goddesses. And the Most High says that the Most High says, I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of the fire. Now, this is saying they were meant to be the covering angel, to do good by the people, but now they used to dwell in the stones of fire with this spiritual knowledge, the spiritual theophany, the spiritual supernatural fire, but now they're going to be disconnected. Disconnected from this knowledge, this wisdom, this understanding. But we must take a lesson and learn so that we may remain in the realm of the spiritual fire of knowledge and wisdom and understanding, and we may squash and kill iniquity and disconnect from this wicked system and do right and do good by the people. Do and become that anointing cherub. That is you and me. We have the power and the destiny to become that anointing cherub. I'm going to cut off now because I can continue to go. Jah love, Jah bless. You're the anointing cherub. You're the Elohim. Rule on behalf of the people. Cover the people. Do good by the people. Let's do good by each other. Let's be life in the Garden of Eden by each other. This is the Exodus, the movement of Jah people.